All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
Alive and well, David.
We did it.
I woke up this morning. I was alive again.
Wow! Again.
I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I have an incredible streak going on. It's like 50 plus years where every single day when I wake up, I'm still alive.
That's insane.
Yeah, I'm moving air in and out, breathing, pumping blood, doing all the things that people do. I've been doing it for years now.
How, like, at a streak like that, aren't you worried about, you know, not making it?
Nah, bro.
Wow. I mean, that's got to be your next book. It's got to be about...
David, if one of us would have an untimely... meet their untimely demise, like... like right now, if one of us, like, falls out of their chair and falls over dead, like, what are our obligations vis-a-vis the Penn Cinema podcast? Do we have to do a live show from the funeral?
Yeah, I think so. And then at least three episodes where the other person is just like a skeleton sitting there.
Right.
Just
like, right.
Mr.
Weekend at Bernie's style.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's bare minimum. You know, right. If you want to go further, that's on you.
And I think for the rest of my life, I would say stuff like, well, if David was alive today, he would want you to watch The Last Jedi.
You know what? I want to start saying that now. Like if Penn was alive today, he would such and such. And I want to do it when you're like nearby. And people are like, wait, what?
Right. There's nothing more fun than confusing people. You know, there's some smart aleck. You know, some of our listeners, we have a lot of listeners.
Yeah.
Sometimes it makes me nervous because, like, today I was emailing somebody and they said I would they sent me an email and they said, I would ask you how you were doing, but I'm an avid listener to the show, so I know how you're doing. And I was like, it really took me by surprise because I was trying to talk to them like I was a normal person, but
shut down.
But they know better. So I'm like, oh shit, you know. But anyway, so we have a lot of listeners who just enjoy the show,
yeah,
and go about their lives. And then we have some listeners who take it upon themselves to make fun of us.
What? Us?
It's crazy talk.
Aren't we difficult targets?
So I'm sitting here thinking, we made the joke about the funeral, right?
Yeah.
And then we made the joke about being obligated to keep doing the show. I know there's at least one person who's going to write in and be like, how would we notice the difference if one of you wasn't on the air? So Penn's talking a Weekend at Bernie's. How would we know the difference? Or vice versa.
Yeah.
So, listeners, you're put on notice. If you're going to make fun of us for being dead, you got to come up with something better than that.
Yeah, come on. He's looking at you, kid.
If I'm the one that goes, I want you to do a show and do the top 10 stupidest things Penn said on the show. And number one has to be Greta.
How do you feel about that one, Penn? Living the dream, baby. Just have a clip of you saying that.
If he was alive today, he would have but one regret. He wished he had seen Greta.
For the first time.
Right.
Oh, right. Man.
We got some news today. Let's get right into it.
Okay. All right. So Kevin Feige, we all know him. We all love him.
Genius.
Maybe.
I think so. If not super smart.
Yeah. So he says he's looking to shake things up with the MCU. And prequel films might be the way to go. In the future, he says, if the story's right, that could be good. Now, this is where it gets complicated. Right? Because on one hand, I'm like, cool. Because Black Widow takes place between what? Civil War and Infinity War, something like that.
Right.
And, I think that's going to be fine or whatever. But it brings up a question as when these happen to, it reminds me of when I was watching Endgame with my dearest mother, and the big emotional part came where everyone comes together and my mom goes, well, where were they all this time?
Ah.
Where were they?
Well, left.
Yeah. If they introduce all these characters, then it comes to a point of, but where were they during such and such event? Or
right.
If that was really that big of a thing, then where were they?
Right.
So it's a little complex. I mean, they had an out with doing Captain Marvel, and, you know, she's just not on Earth, so there's that out. And, it's cool if it's done right. It's just a very, very tricky thing to do correctly.
I had a friend, my whole team did a big race in Maryland last week, and, like, everybody was there. But there was, like, a couple of our good friends that were, like, not there. They were, like, out of town on vacation. That's, like, them. Like, Sarah is Captain Marvel.
Oh.
Like, yeah, basically, yeah. You know, because she wasn't around. So when we're revisiting Eagle Man, we're going to be like, well, where was Sarah? She was out of town.
Right.
I think you're overcomplicating this. I think that the way I interpret this story is Kevin Feige is saying that if a prequel story can be done right, if the story makes sense, it could be done right and it could also fill some holes in the Avengers timeline.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's how I would look at it. I think, I mean, maybe it's because I'm simple, but I love a good prequel. I mean, prequels are so fun because you sort of know what's coming, and you're usually a prequel is done on a character who you're already invested in, you know, so you're like excited and you love that guy already, and this is great how he or she came to be. So I don't know. I kind of take this with a grain of salt. MCU to me is heading in a more mature story-driven direction, and as they explore more story-driven movies, it's only natural to consider doing some prequels to clear up some storyline loose ends.
Yeah. Now, I will say the difference. I mean, I guess what I'm thinking of these movies introducing tons of new characters. For instance, like we're going to be getting Florence Plough's or Plough or however you say her name's character, who supposedly is going to be the new Black Widow or whatever. But if you do these movies and you basically keep it to more established characters, and you don't necessarily use them to introduce whatever, like, I think that's fine. Like, I'm totally down with that.
Right.
You just get a little bit dangerous when you introduce too many new people, and then you're like, but where were they?
Yeah.
Especially when you have a team like the Avengers, and you're right, I am making this way too complicated, but you have a team like the Avengers that are so powerful, so anyone new has to be, like, also really powerful.
Right.
So it's, yeah.
Because they can't just be any old person.
Right. As opposed to, like, well, like Spider-Man meets Daredevil or something. You know, like, Daredevil's cool, but he's not, like, you know, he's not Iron Man.
Right. He's no Venom.
Not many people are.
All right. Thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah.
They got Tom Hardy, unfortunately, but what are you going to do?
Some of these characters may have been, like, in a remote region on Earth, like Greenland, for example.
Mm, just like Greenland, which is very icy.
You got any news about Greenland?
Man, let me tell you. Do you remember the movie Greenland came out during the pandemic, right? The end of it, in the middle of it?
I don't remember.
Exactly. No one remembers.
Right.
It's a movie.
It's not the movie Green Zone with Matt Damon.
No, this one has Gerard Butler in it.
Yeah.
And Gerard. Sorry. Gerard Butler. Ching, pinkies out. And I remember, like, wasn't there, like, maybe I'm thinking of Geostorm. Whatever. The movie Greenland is an apocalyptic movie. And it's getting a sequel called Greenland Migration. So if you're one of the four people that saw the movie or that remember the movie, I mean, get ready for an exciting sequel starring Gerard Butler.
Yeah, it came out in 2020, starring Gerard, and I could care less.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll maybe it'll revitalize the Greenland cinematic universe.
I think our silence speaks volumes. But speaking of franchises that could use, what did you just say about the Greenland cinematic revitalize?
Yeah, revitalize.
Revitalize, refresh, inspire, ignite. You heard about the Transformers movie?
Have I ever?
Yeah, it's going to be a Beast Wars movie, Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
Right.
And although I would love to tell you the story, because I did read it, and I was excited to talk about it on the show, I think I'm going to turn the reading of the story over to you, as you have much greater qualifications than I.
Okay, so here's the crazy thing. It's called Rise of the Beasts, but it's not going to be your normal Beast Wars story.
Mm.
Beast Wars... I can tell you about it, but I didn't watch a whole ton of it. I just thought the story was cool, so I looked it up once.
Right.
Basically, you got Optimus Prime, Megatron on primordial Earth, where it's just animals, and the radiation, they can't stay in their robot form, so they have to look like animals.
Dinosaurs, preferably.
Right. And then they find out that they traveled back in time, and they're there before Optimus Prime, the real Optimus Prime and Megatron, crashed there. They're like their ancestors are there in stasis. Anyway, this is going to take place between Bumblebee and the first Michael Bay film. And it's going to feature Autobots and a few Decepticons. Definitely will feature Optimus Prime. He's got a new look. We have Bumblebee will be an off-road Camaro. Mirage will join the Autobots as a Porsche 911, and RC will be joining the team as a Ducati. There's also a character called Nightbird as a Nissan GTR. We'll be seeing Maximals, Predacons, and even Terracons, which is a bunch of different kinds. You got mammals, dinosaurs, and like bugs. I think that's what that is. I think something like that. So anyway, we're going to this. It's currently starring the lead actor from In the Heights, and there's a female lead as well, and I think she's from the Purge movies. So this is interesting.
I was excited to read it only because, or I should say mostly because I felt like, I don't know, I feel like it's just, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like there's a lot of new, fresh, I don't want to say ideas because that's probably not quite right, but it's not just more of the same Transformers.
Right. I'll be honest with you. I was like, oh, this is super cool. And then I kept reading and they're like, oh, don't worry. Optimus Prime will still be there as a truck and Bumblebee will still be there as a Camaro. And I'm like, wait a second. What about the Beast part of this whole thing? What's going on? So.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're excited for Transformers news. I think that falls into the category of like whatever, but it's good news. Like it's certainly not bad news.
Right. Right.
Okay. M. Night Shyamalan. I wonder if there is anybody that really knows how you're supposed to say that, because I've tried to like not be funny about it anymore, but I just can't not. I don't know how to say it.
I'm pretty sure it's Shyamalan.
Shyamalan. I think it's just pronounced M. Night. M. Night. All right. So that's what we're going to do. From now on the show, our policy, like the New York Times has like an editorial policy on how they spell things and how they, like any major newspapers all have like editorial policies. And I think our new policy is we're just going to call him M. Night. There's no other M. Night. There's not like we're going to get M. Night confused with like M. Night Gibble.
Well, do you think that maybe we should always be like, because baby, because M. Night.
Now, this story is interesting. M. Night has not decided how to end his new movie as of yet. Isn't that the kind of thing you resolve when you write the script?
And keep in mind, this new movie comes out in weeks.
Right. The posters are in my hallway.
Yeah. Yeah.
The trailer is going to be on F9.
So apparently, in looking into this, it's about he hasn't decided which twist he wants to go with at the end. And he's thinking he wants it to be more like the end of Unbreakable, where it was kind of a downer reveal.
Right. I hope it's not that.
It's also been rated PG-13, apparently.
Do you think if you were in charge of deciding an ending, would you think that the world of moviegoers is looking for downer endings in this time that we're living in, or looking for like fun, oh my God, I didn't see that coming endings?
Ooh, I feel like this is more of a fun, oh my God, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, right? I do not need a downer ending. I'll tell you that. I got enough downer endings circling around a few downer endings in my own world. Mm-hmm. I don't need any in the cinema. James Gunn, yeah, our boy with Suicide Squad 2, says that Suicide Squad 2 is actually in the DC universe.
Okay.
Did you know that? Had we discussed that? I mean, we knew it was a DC movie, but he's saying all on. In fact, unless I read fake news, he's saying the reason why some of these guys are in jail is for their attempt on Superman.
Yes, as we'll see in the trailer.
Right. This week. And then the question is, will Henry Cavill, is it Cavill, be in Suicide Squad 2? And James Gunn said, I don't know who that would be because I didn't do the casting for Superman. So where does that leave Henry Cavill? Out in the woods is what I think.
Yeah. I don't think they need to show him. Or they could do like they did in Shazam, where it was just from the neck down. Do you remember that?
They're like, yeah,
he
yeah,
shows
yeah.
up at the very end.
Yep.
I think that's.
I feel like that's. I would rather have them not show him. I feel like they get away with that in Shazam because it was one time. You start doing that, that's like lame.
Right, right. And I don't think. I think the what makes the Suicide Squad stand aside is that the big hitters aren't in it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right, yeah. right. Although, isn't it interesting? All right, this is a little bit of a stretch, and I know there's a lot of holes in this analogy, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yeah.
Isn't Suicide Squad, like, remember in the SATs they had, like, you know, milk is to cereal as whatever is to whatever?
Yeah.
So isn't Suicide Squad 2 kind of like DC's version of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that Marvel, or Marvel, as some people refer to it, Marvel has been able to, the Guardians have been able to come into the mainstream Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very, I mean, prominent might be too strong of a word, but they're main characters in the Avengers plot lines. You know, and they're certainly, you know, they have overlaps with other main characters from mainstream characters, whereas the Suicide Squad 2 has no Batman, no Wonder Woman, no Superman, no, you know, they're
Harley
very
Quinn,
much
though.
They do have Harley Quinn, but that to me is not the same.
Right. Well, they have, so the three rollover characters, they have Harley Quinn, I can't remember her name, but the lady that runs the Suicide Squad that was in Batman vs Superman, as well
as
the first Suicide Squad,
Amanda Waller. Yeah, right, right.
And the guy who led the Suicide Squad is the first time is back. So three characters.
All right, so it is a little bit more.
Yeah.
Than I give it credit for.
All right, I have some heartbreaking news for me.
Oh.
I know.
Another downer ending?
Hmm. Well, maybe not. Julie Delpy reveals that she turned down a Thorth installment in the Before series. And these movies take so long that I hadn't even realized that we had passed 9 years. So there's three of them. There's Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Before Midnight. This is one of my favorite series of all time. It's okay. So absolutely amazing.
And these are shows or movies?
Movies. And Julie Delpy and Ethan Hawke. They all take place 9 years. They were filmed 9 years apart, and 9 years for the characters have passed between each film.
Oh, nice.
It's so cool. But the problem is, we passed the...
the 9 year mark.
We're coming up on the 9 year mark this year.
Oh.
2022 is the 9 year mark for the next one. And Julie Delpy turned it down. At the time when she was approached, she said, you know, when she was approached about it, she was struggling with difficulty making her own films and where she was as an actress and thinking that maybe she might become a doctor instead. Go back to school or something. She's not sure. She said she has since had her sights on film kind of like revitalized. She's back, kind of getting back into it. But when she was approached, she turned it down. And each one of these films always ends this is the end of the story. But at the same time, you know, life goes on, so there could clearly be more. And they're amazing. So if they didn't do it now, maybe they get to it later. It's a little bit disappointing that the 9 year thing kind of didn't hold up for a fourth film or whatever. But
right,
these if you have not seen these movies and you like thought provoking conversational films, because each one of these movies is basically just a really long conversation, a very difficult conversation usually, and they're just absolutely amazing. Anyway,
and she's French, right?
Yep, she's a French actress. She's, I guess, more. She's well known in Europe for her acting, and less than in the States. But she's fantastic. So
I loved her in Age of Ultron.
Oh, did you?
Did she play
Ultron?
She played Madame B.
What?
Yeah, I don't know who Madame B is, but her casting credits include Madame B in Age of Ultron. And if you scroll through the cast on the interwebs there on IMDb, you can't find her name. So that tells you a little something about Frenchie over there.
Yeah, I gotta look this up. Oh, she's just in the background?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. Oh, she's the lady that supervises the Red Room. I wonder if she'll be back in Black Widow.
One could only hope.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yep. Anyhow. I kind of don't think she will, because her Black Widow is not listed on her in production type of thing.
Okay.
I'm so psyched for Black Widow. That's going to be here like before we know it.
Just a few weeks.
I'm going to the screening next week in New York.
Get out of town.
It'd be my first screening since January of 2020.
Aren't you afraid someone's going to be like, screen this and moon you while you're up there?
I could only hope. All right, nice. Let's end on a high note here. Okay. We got some Shazam news. Helen Mirren is confirmed as the film's villain playing Hespera, and there are set photos that were released. The villain is described as the daughter of Atlas, and she appears on set to be wearing some kind of ornate metal armor and headwear and headgear. Did we know that Helen Mirren was going to be in Shazam?
We did, but we did not have any visual confirmation until now.
Gotcha. So. Gotcha. I missed that story. I think this is great news for Shazam. I love it when really iconic actresses or actors get involved with stuff like this. I think that bodes well for Shazam.
I got to say, Shazam is knocking it out of the park with their leaks. Anytime anything gets close to leaking, they just either do something to kind of make it not worth the time, or they get out ahead of it. Like, there were all these rumors that people had pictures of the costumes, so they just released a full, like, a full ensemble costumes shot.
And
they're just like, so here, what? Here you go.
Yeah. I have one more piece of news I want to throw in here on the end. It's not really a news. It's just a comment. I feel like this is the appropriate place to make the comment. So probably our listeners are aware that In the Heights did not do great in the box office. But I want to assure everybody that it did pretty good. And it was just the press wanting to, you know, find a loser and you know, be negative. I'm not saying that it did great. I'm not trying to, like, rewrite history or say that it was a huge success. But it did pretty well. And I just think if you're a fan of musicals, don't panic, because there's a lot more coming and nobody is blinking. This is the kind of movie that does not need to make, you know, $100 million on opening weekend. We still have West Side Story coming in December, and Lin-Manuel Miranda has another musical. It's an animated Encanto coming in November, but we even have you know, Cinderella, Dear Evan Hansen is going to be a really big movie in September. So, and of course, the Aretha Franklin biopic Respect comes out in August. We have tons of posters and banners, and just the buzz that I get from the studios about these movies. Don't panic. If you're a fan of musicals and you're worried that In the Heights, like, set a bad precedent, like, don't worry. It did better than the press is letting on. It was still my number three movie in Lititz. It did really well in Huntington Valley. So don't believe everything you read on the interwebs.
There you have it, folks. Straight from the pen's mouth.
Right from the horse's mouth.
Yeah. All right, guys. Are you ready for this? The trailers this week?
This is a big one.
It's a big week. I'll say I have a clear number one for me, but I also have, like, two runner-ups, really, really strong runner-ups.
I think it's fair to say that every single trailer was pretty good.
I will almost agree. I think there's one bad trailer in here.
Which is the bad one? Let's start there.
Okay, the bad trailer is Karen.
Oh, I thought that was... All right, yeah, you're right. Well, that just looks like a bad movie.
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah. Like at first I was like, okay, this looks decent. And then there were some shots I was like, man, the dialogue delivery there was not so...
A lot of times on the trailer, you try to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, they were just putting foots forward.
Right, if that's your best foot...
Yeah.
So our first trailer is Karen, which is basically a story about a family that moves in and has a nightmare neighbor. And the plot line is based on race. The family that moves in is black. The neighbor is white. And she's some kind of blatant racist. And her husband or her brother, I guess, is a racist cop. And misery ensues. I don't know. I didn't think it looked scary or funny, or it looked too real. It looked just like shitty America. You know, it didn't look like a movie. It looked like watching the news at night.
This is what's wrong with taking the meme of a Karen that is already too close to reality and the, like, the crap that we see people pull on a daily basis.
Right.
And then trying to make that the movie villain. It's almost too real.
Yeah.
Which we're kind of laughing at, but it's not funny.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we got that out of the way.
Okay.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other good trailers, so we can't afford to, like, dive deep into all of them. But my trailer of the week was pretty easy, I thought. And I had one trailer that I thought I was going to not watch the whole thing, and I was really pleasantly surprised that it actually looks really good. I'm excited to see it.
Oh, what was that one?
Till Death, starring Megan Fox.
Yeah, I was the same. I thought I was like, this is going to be crap, and I'm not going to want to watch it. I just
right.
You know.
No, she got tied up, and somebody's trying to kill her. Oh, what will we do?
Yeah, but it looked really interesting.
There's some other twists that we don't know, and there's some other plot lines that are unclear at this time, and there's some intrigue. And if that movie called Till Death looks I think that's going to be pretty exciting.
Now, riddle me this, Penn. Right? We both like the way that this trailer looked, but even as we're talking, do you know what I realize is a major factor to this trailer? There's very little Megan Fox acting in it.
Right. Which is always a good sign for a movie.
Well, I mean, it's like, did they hold that back on purpose?
I was watching the trailer, and I was thinking to myself, where has Megan Fox been? She kind of imploded. She imploded and kind of fell apart and, you know, went off to the deep end, and now she's coming back. And if this movie is as good as the trailer looks, maybe. I mean, it does look like the movie is from a tiny little studio, and it's day and date. You can watch it at home the same day as theaters. So it's not going to make a lot of money, but hopefully it's a good movie. And I would love to see Megan Fox come back.
It does look good.
She's a likable person.
Okay, here's one that I've been seeing advertised almost too much, but it still has me really interested. How It Ends. It's a comedy about the end of the world where everyone knows there's a meteor about to hit. What do you do with the time you have left? And instead of panicking, it's a very surreal, like, black comedy about dealing with an oncoming death. The main character sees a version of herself that's younger that follows her around and talks to her.
And so the two main characters are the main character and her younger self.
Yeah, the vision of her younger self, yeah.
Right.
And just, like, who's she going to see and what's she going to do with, like, her last day or so on Earth? And even, like, the humor that everyone kind of has. And the guy's like, oh, this is how you'll find me, like, stabbed. And she's like, nah, no, no. We're going to blow up like the rest of us.
And right.
He's like, oh, right. Yeah, you're right.
I like when she goes to the boy's window and holds the box up like what's that movie? Say Anything?
Yeah.
She's holding the boom box up. And the boyfriend's like, it's not – there's no sound coming out. And she's like – I know, but I thought it'd be a cool visual. I think this movie looks adorable. I can't wait to watch it. And I love that it's consistent with the theme of this episode regarding our funerals and, you know, planning for that stuff. This could be the trailer of the week for me. It's not, but it made a good run at it because I think it's looks very refreshing.
Yeah, yeah. All right, hit me with one.
I'll tell you a movie that tries to be refreshing, but there's no way I'm going to watch this movie. The trailer was okay just because it's so different. Talking about Strawberry Mansion.
Yeah. This looks like Edgar – is it Edgar Wright?
Yes.
Yeah, like he did a sci-fi film. It has
right.
Very much has that feel. 20-something David would have been like, sign me up for a trip to Midtown to see this at the tiny little art theater. Like,
right.
I cannot wait. And I still want to see it, but I'm not, like, falling out of my seat to get to this.
I always like to tell people that I like it when it gets weird.
Yeah.
But this movie kind of called my bluff because it's just too weird.
Too,
like,
weird.
I don't want to see this movie. Like, I feel like maybe it was like there are hallucinogenic sequences in this movie that were clearly done by somebody who has never had hallucinogenic experiences. Like, I feel like they think that tripping is it's what they think it would be. I've never had that experience. I'm not sure anybody has. I don't know. This movie looks weak to me. It's called Strawberry Mansion. It's essentially, I mean, I guess the premise is refreshing. You get taxed on your dreams, you know, and you're required to upload your dreams to a digital, like, thumb drive type of thing. I think they call it a digital stick. And the premise is interesting. And then the guy sort of goes through, I don't know. Maybe it's weird enough that I could watch it, but it didn't do anything. It didn't do anything for me. I'll just say that.
Yeah. We'll see with that one. It might not even get a release at this point.
Right.
They're still looking for. It's doing the circuits of the festivals, and it doesn't have a. You know the word I can't think of. No one's gonna.
Yeah. Right. So,
all right. So the next one on here is kind of surprised me. I almost missed it. And it's The Shrink Next Door.
Ah.
And this is a Will Ferrell, Paul Rudd, based on a true story kind of thing where I'm not 100% sure what's going on. I thought we were going to get a Fight Club switch where he turned out to be the more confident Paul Rudd was going to wind up being him in the trailer. But it looks like maybe he's just really taking advantage of Will Ferrell. I don't know what's going on here. I kind of want to see it, though.
I definitely want to see this movie. I feel like this movie has real potential to be heavier than we think it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely feel like it could get heavy, kind of like that movie Funny Man. I was just talking about that to somebody the other day. Or not Funny Man, Funny People. With Adam Sandler, where, you know, it's billed like it's some kind of comedy, and then you get into the movie and it's heavy as hell and not really funny and just kind of miserable. I mean, it's a good movie, but it's the movie that I always use as an example. I always say popular movies that do well are movies, I mean, other than like the obvious blockbusters, the middle of the road movies that do well are movies that are what you think they're going to be, like a comedy that's funny. Nobody wants to buy a ticket to a comedy and see a drama.
Right.
Nobody wants to buy a ticket to a drama and see slapstick comedy. You know, nobody wants to buy a ticket to a horror movie and find some deep philosophical, you know, belly button gazing type of thing. So Funny People is always the example I use where they build it as a comedy. People bought tickets, came in and sat there and cried, and they were miserable on the way out.
Yeah.
So I feel like The Shrink Next Door has that potential because people are going to be like, oh, Paul Rudd, Will Ferrell, this movie's going to be hilarious. I'm going to go watch it. And then they go in and it's like, oh, these guys just want to prove that they can act.
Right.
You know, it's like when a, you know, a heavy metal band picks up acoustic guitars and wants to prove that they can be sensitive, you know?
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, you play whatever guitar you want, but I hope they do a good job of marketing. But irregardless, sorry to get off on that tangent. I think this movie looks great. I'm excited to go see it.
That reminds me about something about Strawberry Mansion that I thought was kind of funny. The comments on the trailer were all people who have not seen this movie, have only seen this trailer, saying how this movie is the biggest Oscar contender and it's going to get snubbed. And I'm like, you only saw a 2-minute trailer. Like, calm down. Come on.
Come now.
Yeah.
All right. Walk us through Deer King.
Okay. The Deer King is an anime film. The animation looks fantastic. The premise, I only had a chance to watch it once. It looks like something happened. There's a guy with a girl, and he's taking her through the forest. He's going to get her somewhere. And they ride a deer. I am doing a horrible job at selling this. But it looks really cool, and it involved a lot of the people involved in some of the great animes, some of the Studio Ghibli stuff, and as well as Your Name. A lot of people behind those films are involved in this in some way, and I want to know more.
All right, here's my problem.
What's your problem with Penn?
I'm going to tell you my problem. I got a problem, and it's going to offend some people. So Frodo. I'm just telling you right now, Frodo.
Close your ears.
Close your ears. What is it when the grown-ups tell the kids to put on bunny ears? What do they say?
Earmuffs on.
Earmuffs on. Like, here's my problem. My problem is this. This trailer, for me, because I'm not an aficionado, I felt like it looked like every other anime trailer I've ever seen. Right? Tell me, did it look different to you? Really, David? Honestly, you're just staring at me like I'm a dope. You're leaving me out. You're leaving me hanging me out to dry.
No, you know, you have your points. I mean, it was very formulaic, but I think for me, in something like this, I look at anime is weird. It's I look at it in a different way than I look at another film. I look at the names attached to it that I've seen good stuff with. I look at the animation style, if it's the type of style I look. I look at the vibrant colors.
Okay.
And just a hint of the story, you know.
And that's you listen to the vibrant colors.
Yeah, well, that's that as well. But it's, you know, it's a little bit of the, like, it's less about what's happening in the trailer, because oftentimes it's not in English anyway, and right. more about just the gist of what's going on here. And that's kind of like how I am with, like, that movie we've talked about, Belle, that I'm really, really looking forward to. Like, there, I really, you know, it's not like a normal trailer. Like, we don't have enough information for me to be like, this looks like a good movie story-wise. I think it looks like a beautiful movie to watch, and that's what I'm interested in.
Okay. I'll give you that. I watched the trailer, and I found myself, like, watching the timer to see how much longer the trailer was, because I was like, whatever. All right, so we're down to two more movies. These okay. are the two movies on our list this week that are like mainstream, big blockbuster, Hollywood, all-out trailers. One is called Snake Eyes, Trailer 2, and one is called Suicide Squad, which got a new trailer. And I just want to publicly thank my co-host, my dear friend, my partner in crime, David Moulton, who no longer counts on me to find the correct trailer. He now puts the link in the show notes.
Okay. There are reasons I did that is because at the time of me putting this in the notes, the article that I sent you to is all about how for some reason they didn't post it anywhere. And you can only see it if it randomly ran as an ad in front of other things, and that they had found a reposting of it. And then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start with that. The Suicide Squad trailer, the new trailer, features our boy Ichabod Elbow.
Yeah, this is my trailer of the week.
Me too, yeah. Totally, 100%. The new Suicide Squad is the Penn Cinema Podcast trailer of the week, starring, what's his real name, Idris Elba.
Idris Elba, yeah. I was surprised. I thought, I almost didn't put it on here without watching it. I was like, do we really need another Suicide? Like, how much more can there be?
Right.
But this is surprisingly, like, it's not Harley Quinn-centric. It's Idris Elba's character. I think it's Bloodsport. It's all about his character. So it looks like he's going to be really central. I love that. The comedy was new comedy that we hadn't seen, new plots that we hadn't seen. I think it's great.
So the movie comes out in a little over a month. And I think we're at the point now where the new, you know, like, this is good. This is perfect. Right. It's exciting. The trailer was awesome. We got a good taste of the movie. Stop. Let's just keep playing these trailers that we have and the clips that we have. I'm a little bit worried that they're going to keep giving away the store before, you know. So
I think a lot of the characters are going to die. And I think I'm excited for that, like, because it's the Suicide Squad. You know, like, there should be some loss involved. Like, you can't all survive. Otherwise, what's the point of the name? You know.
I like in one of the earlier trailers when the guy goes, "Are we gonna die?" And the other guy goes, "God, I hope so."
Yeah. Also, did we know that?
They're also really skimming over Pete Davidson's character, so maybe he's one of the first to die, but. We're big Pete Davidson fans here at the Ketchum House, and I'm excited to see, first of all, I'm excited to see how he does, and more importantly, I'm excited to see how he is received by mainstream movie fans who might not be Saturday Night Live fans.
Did we talk about how Sylvester Stallone does the voice of King Shark?
No.
Isn't that crazy?
Is that true, or are you messing with me?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, wow.
That's cool, right?
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
He had some funny lines in this movie.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't care what you say. And here's another one that people often yell at me. Stallone is a funny dude.
Yeah.
Like, his comedy is very subtle. You know, it's very his action is over the top. His action sequences, obviously, he's known for over the top. But he has comedy throughout his movies. All the way back, I go back to the first Rocky when he proposes to What's-Her-Face. And he's like, if you're not doing anything, if it wouldn't be too much, I was wondering if maybe if you would want to marry me. Like, it's just his delivery of that line and, like, everything about that line is just, I thought it was hilarious. And I think his comedy is good. So I love the fact that what you just said, that he's the voice of Shark. I think that's going to be cool.
Yeah. So our final trailer this week surprised me really strongly. Same. And that's the Snake Eyes trailer too. I remember we talked about the first one and I said, just whoever made the trailer just didn't feel right. You know, I wasn't saying the movie looked bad. I just didn't sell it.
Right.
This trailer, which is a lot more story-based, sells it.
Yeah.
And it does a really good job of, like, showing the action, but not too much, showing the story, but not too much, showing the character be cool, just enough to make you be like, okay, I want to see this, and not enough to make you be like, eh, whatever.
Right. Did the trailer remind you of an Asian James Bond movie?
Sure. I could see that.
Like, I totally was watching this thinking to myself, I want to see this character the same way I want to see James Bond. Like, there's part of me that wants to be like him. You know, you're 100% buying into the idea of rooting for him. And he's cool looking. And, you know, he's obviously, like, got a mission, yeah. You know, and I guess the one thing that I didn't love was just a little tiny bit cheesy. And that's when it made me think of James Bond. I was watching this trailer and I was, like, invested in it and loving it. And then, like, his boss or his trainer or whoever, like, that he's learning from, you know, says to him, like, you know, we have to fight the evil terrorist organization called Combat, right? Cobra. And I'm like, oh God, I'm like rolling my eyes. But then I'm like, that's exactly what happens in James Bond movies.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, some, like, evil organization and we must stop them, you know?
Right.
And of course, like, we're gonna stop them, you know, 'cause it's, like, just five or six guys. And if you blow up their headquarters, you know, and
yeah.
It's hidden under the mountain, you know, but first you got to get through all these ninjas.
The evil organization always has thousands of people that work for it. They've blown up huge, crazy things multiple times,
right.
And no one's ever heard of them.
Right, like, right. So, I don't know. With that being said, this trailer did a lot for getting me excited for Snake Eyes. Mm. So and you know my position on G.I. Joe, right?
Right. You're not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
So the fact that I'm on board for Snake Eyes says a lot.
Yeah. You ready to talk about our movie of the week?
Please.
Okay. All right. So this week we watched The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, starring Ryan Reynolds, Samuel L. Jackson, and Selma Hayek.
And Selma Hayek's boobs.
And Selma Hayek's butt, apparently.
Right.
Yeah. And Morgan Freeman, surprisingly, which was an amazing surprise.
Right.
So what did you think of The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard? Do you remember the first movie?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. We saw it, right? I mean, we saw it on the, like, within the life of the show.
Holy Maybe crap, not. Did we? We might have.
That's interesting. I absolutely loved this movie. I went into it with, shall we say... I had modest expectations. Like, I went into it expecting to enjoy it, but I was kind of like, whatever. I literally said to my friend that I was watching it with when I invited him, I was like, I don't know if the movie's going to be good or not, but I got to watch it for the show. So, you know, come on, let's watch it. Let's see if it's good. That's sort of the attitude I went into it with. We laughed so hard through the whole entire thing. Now, if you're not comfortable with the F-bomb, then you're just not going to like this movie. Or if you're like me and you think the F-bomb makes everything better, then you're going to love this movie. then in that case, you're going to love this movie. And I think, like, I was pleasantly surprised, like, in the very beginning of the movie, there's a dream sequence. And it's obvious right from the get-go that it's a dream sequence. But then later in the movie, there's another dream sequence, and you don't realize it, or at least I didn't. You know, yeah. They totally suck you in. And just little things like that, I just thought were really funny, really well done. The movie, of course, is simple. I like the part, it's pretty early in the movie when Salma Hayek runs over Ryan Reynolds in her car.
Yeah.
And he, like, basically, I mean, first they apparently pick him up and put him in the trunk, and then when he wakes up, he's, like, dusting himself off, and he's irritated that he was locked in the trunk. If this was a regular movie, he would have been dead.
Yeah.
Right, the way he got run over. So as soon as you realize that, oh, this is that kind of movie, you know,
yeah,
then you can sort of let go of, like, oh, you know, like, willing suspension of disbelief. No, you got to leave your disbelief at the door.
Right. Right.
Entirely.
Yes. Big time. I enjoyed this movie a lot. I don't think it's as good as the first one. There were some really good laugh out loud moments. There's some really good shocker moments. And I was like, what? I thought the comedy between the trio is great. It all worked really, really well. I thought the ending was like perfect.
Yep.
Had a little stinger in it too, mm-hmm, which was nice. I had a good time with this movie. I would recommend seeing it if you like the first one. There are some things I didn't like about it, and that would be, I felt the first one was more based in reality. And like one of the things I love about the first one, right, is he's constantly like, I was a AAA rated hitman. And everyone he meets is like, that's not a real thing. Like, you, right, you made that up.
Right.
But in this movie, from the very get-go, the AAA rating thing is a real thing. They have conventions. They have awards. Now, the thing at the beginning was a dream, but like later they establish that it's a real thing and that he comes from a long line of bodyguards, and like that kind of, like, I don't know, that kind of took away from it a little bit for me. And one of the things I didn't like that this movie did is it made both Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson from the first movie, they were supposed to be like the best of the best, and then they just kind of both fell on hard times. In this movie, they're played out to be kind of like buffoons that just happen to get lucky.
Right.
And while this movie is hilarious, the switch between the two, I don't know, it loses a little bit of something for me.
I hear you. And I didn't really notice that, but now that you point it out, that's spot on.
Yeah.
They definitely took this movie into the more farcical, like, comedy. They jumped, I don't want to say jump the shark because it's only a sequel, but they definitely, like, somebody made a conscious decision to be more ridiculous.
Right.
You know, and to just be hilarious. And maybe it's because, and I apologize, the first one came out in 2017, so we were not yet doing the show back then, but I don't remember the first one, like, crystal clear. Like, I remember seeing it, and I remember enjoying it, but I didn't remember any plot details, and I didn't really remember some of the stuff that you just talked about. So it was a little bit more natural for me to have this one be ridiculous, because I didn't really have a problem with it. How about Antonio Banderas McLaughlin? Antonio Banderas has a small role in this, basically as the bad guy.
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
Yeah, he's the most Mexican Greek guy ever made. Yeah. There are a lot of things I liked about this movie, and I liked the over-the-top thing. I think if it would have been always so over-the-top, like if the other movie would have been that way, I would have been more on board with it, but it was a little bit of a surprise. And maybe they'll keep going like that if they make more.
Yeah, if you went into this thinking this was going to be like a James Bond thriller action spy movie, you might have been disappointed.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on the little trivia with Ryan Reynolds' gin company?
No.
So Ryan Reynolds in real life owns Aviation Gin.
Okay.
And so when they bust into this bar, there's a big display with aviation gin, and Ryan Reynolds grabs a bottle of it and smashes one of the bad guys over the heads with it.
Oh.
And Mark picked that out in the middle of the show. He was like, that's Ryan Reynolds' gin. So I thought, I love when, you know, there's little subtle, yeah, subtle stuff like that. But
yeah.
All right. So what? I mean, we're on board, right?
Yeah, on board. Definitely. If this is your type of comedy thing, I don't go in expecting the best thing in the world, but it's good. It's good. Yeah.
Salma Hayek makes fun of her own boobs in the movie, which is why we made that joke at the top of this segment.
Right. Yeah. All right. Listener notes, questions, answers. And in this one, a suggestion. So what are we going to go with here?
There's so much to choose from.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, please, by all means.
All right, so let's start with Connor, not Connor. Our boy hit us up, right?
And can I just preface this by saying Connor, not Connor, by the way, has been working at the theater for a little while now.
Yeah.
And he is rapidly establishing himself as a veteran usher, concessionaire. This is a good... He's turning into a pretty solid addition to the Penn Cinema family. So
cool guy.
Yeah, I'm really happy with that. Go ahead.
We even ditched the age before his name. He's that cool now. He's ageless.
Oh, that's right. Right. The ageless. We might want to give him a whole new name, the Ageless Wonder.
The Ageless Wonder. So Connor, not Connor, the Ageless Wonder. He says he saw a film he wanted to recommend. He said, David, I bet you haven't even heard of this film. He's rubbing it in my face. He said, the film I'm talking about is called Zach, and it's a short 38-minute documentary about ultra runner Zach Miller. This is about the point where I tuned out. He said, I came across this movie yesterday as Penn Cinema hosted an event showing this movie with a Zach Miller Q&A to follow. He said, big thanks to Penn. He even got to meet Zach when he visited the theater. He's a super cool guy, and that reading more about him, he found his story pretty amazing and inspiring. So he just wanted to write us in and let us know that it's definitely worth seeing. Is it still playing?
No, it was a one-time event. It was a fundraiser for a local running group. And Zach Miller, here's another SAT example. Zach Miller is to ultra running as Tom Brady is to the NFL. Mm-hmm. So he's pretty hot shit. And he's generally recognized as one of the, like, literally one of the top two or three best ultra runners in the world, and regularly goes over to Europe and runs these races that are 100 miles long or 200 miles long, and frequently wins them. What's neat about Zach is he's a very down-to-earth kind of regular guy, and he graduated from Hempfield. So he's a local Lancaster boy, and his family's still in Lancaster. I've met him a few times, and he's just as Connor said, he's a really cool guy. And so we showed this movie, and Zach stuck around afterwards to do a Q&A, which lasted more than twice as long as the movie itself. But I will say that the movie is on YouTube, and it's by a really talented filmmaker named Billy Yang. I highly recommend it. It's called Zach, Z-A-C-H, 38 minutes long.
Wow.
Fascinating story.
Wow. Here's what I always say about, you say these kids they're runners, you got to raise money for these runners. And I say, if these darn kids stopped running from the cops and got jobs, you wouldn't have to be raising money for them. That's right. All I'm saying.
I know. Yeah. I know. If only they had you in their lives to keep them on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. Well, they're too busy running from the truth.
Right. Oh, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done. Finish the show without me. I can't go on.
Shadow writes in, of course. And as we all know,
the Shadow knows.
That's right. The Shadow knows what movie you should go see. And he says you should go see The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. He says it was a refreshing night of relaxation and laughter. Not over the top great, but good, and a nice break in my whirlwind of a life. So big shout out to The Shadow for letting everybody know what they should go see for a little bit of break from this crazy, crazy world.
Didn't the Shadow recently graduate from college?
Yeah, man. He's nonstop. He's graduated from college. He got a big time job with these producer guys in what was it, Ephrata somewhere?
Oh yeah, that's right.
He's making turns and changing the world left, right, and center.
Damn.
I know.
All right. Kudos to him. And still finding time to write into the show. You know who else wrote in? Top 10 Sarah wrote in. She, speaking of musicals, I'm going to do the first part of the story, and you're going to have to do the second one. This was one of the end of the second one. I'll do them both. I just love them.
Okay. All right.
So on the topic of musicals, she enjoyed In the Heights and shared quite a bit of insight. I won't run through the whole thing right now, but there were a lot more that I picked up on, a lot of crossovers between Hamilton and In the Heights. And apparently there was even more, that she shared with us, which I thought was really interesting. And she did call it the salsa version of Hamilton.
Ooh.
Which I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's a diss to Hamilton or if it's I don't know. I'm going to run that by some of my theater friends and see what they like. But I wanted to share with Sarah and with the group here that I met a guy, and it turns out there were two or three people in the circle. Once this guy blurted it out, it turned out there were two or three other people. We had a party at our house on Sunday, and this guy blurts out and he says, well, Lin-Manuel Miranda was the weak link of Hamilton.
What?
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. I had to interrupt the conversation and say, wait, what?
Did you salsa dance right over there with your fists up?
I did. I said, what the? I never heard that. And then two or three other people spoke up and they were like, oh, yeah, everybody knows that. Everybody else in the show is like incredibly talented. And Lin-Manuel just starred because he wrote the thing. And same is true with In the Heights and dissing on my boy. I couldn't believe it. That was the first I had ever heard of people not universally respecting and admiring Lin-Manuel. So I thought that was interesting.
You have a pool, right, Penn?
We do.
And they didn't go right. You didn't push these people right into the pool?
Oh, and they did. I threw them right in.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Absolutely. With their phones.
Yeah.
Like Sarah also wrote in that she shares David's concern about Lord of the Rings. While there is a ton of content out there that J.R.R. Tolkien himself wrote in Silmarillion, I'm worried that some of these spinoffs will oversaturate the market and won't be treated as well as Peter Jackson treated Lord of the Rings. And it will turn out more like what he did to The Hobbits. I guess time will tell. Care to comment on that, Mr. Moulton?
I'm sorry.
If you could stop giggling
said,
for a minute.
You said Lord of the Rings. and earlier today, you didn't respond when I was like, she turned down the Thorth movie in the series.
I wanted to. I thought once you started talking about that movie, you sounded all serious. And I thought, I thought you said fourth installment because you actually were talking about the fourth installment. So I didn't think it was funny.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. So let's see. She's concerned that it'll be oversaturated. Yeah. I agree. I don't feel like, I don't think The Hobbit was Peter Jackson's fault. If you watch the behind the scenes stuff, you can see he put himself in the hospital because of how much that movie was like a disaster that out of his control and, or those movies, I should say. And I use disaster loosely. They're not the worst movies or whatever, but I mean, 10 years to make the first three and then like 2 years to make the next three. And he wasn't supposed to make them, so it's kind of, I don't blame him for them, but I do see what she's saying. I think that yeah, it could get oversaturated. It could be a little bit much.
All right, David,
I want to see a picture of this elvish tattoo she's talking about. She says,
hang on. We're getting to that.
Oh, okay.
And I think picture was in the email.
I don't know that I got this email, Holmes.
Oh my God. This was the best email of all time. But before we get to that, you have to educate me and the other listeners.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She said there's a ton of content there that Tolkien wrote himself in the Silmarillion. Silmarillion. What is the Silmarillion?
Okay, the Silmarillion is a book of shorter stories that fills in a lot of the deep history. One thing that Tolkien did fantastic is world building.
And,
Tolkien? Tolkien. Some people might say it's a little bit much, people that struggle with the reading his books. But like the deep history of Middle Earth is in the Silmarillion, as well as he has, I think, the Unfinished Tales 1 and 2. The thing about the Silmarillion is I have not read the whole thing. One, it's on my bucket list of things to do.
Neither has Sarah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. And so the crazy Sarah, let's book club this one and read and talk about it. But also, they take the stories from the Silmarillion and they'll release them as their own books. And bless my mother's heart, for like years after the movies came out, like every Christmas I'd get a new book that was just the Silmarillion with a different cover on it, basically. It was like The Road to Rohan. It's like, you know, stories that were in there. It's just taken out and the font was made bigger, that kind of thing. So,
She said that the Silmarillion is her Dune. She has not been able to read the whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah. So now the final part of her email, which you totally got because it was sent to podcast@penncinema.com.
I'm telling you, I don't get it.
Okay. Well, she sent in. Now, what I want is I want all our other listeners who think – all our other listeners – who mistakenly think they are the biggest fans of the show.
Uh-huh.
You're sitting there listening to the show feeling pretty, pretty pleased with yourselves because you think you're a big fan of the show. But only one of you, named Top 10 Sarah, wrote in and sent in a picture of her tattoo that says, "Listen to the Penn Cinema Podcast." Now, the tattoo is written in Elvish.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it is a tramp stamp.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what she told us.
Yeah.
I'm not passing judgment. She's saying, "This is my Elvish tramp stamp tattoo. And in case you're not fluent in Elvish, let me translate it for you. It says, 'Listen to the Penn Cinema Podcast.'" And wow. Then she signs off, "Party on, have a great week."
I heard that was really big like 2 weeks ago. People were doing that all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's huge.
That's crazy.
That was awesome. That email made my day.
Wow.
Totally made me laugh out loud.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I can't wait to see this. I don't know why.
I'm forwarding it to you now.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't swing across my, my stuff here. But that's so cool. Here it is. I'm going to get to look at it. Yeah. I remember my Elvish classes. That's exactly what it says.
I remember my Elvish classes.
Yeah. You didn't take Elvish in high school? What school did you go to?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't even think you're kidding. I feel like you're not even joking.
There are legit colleges that offer courses in Tolkien and how to speak Elvish. Because when they made the movies, they had to find these people with these degrees in Elvish to translate. It's a real language. Like he legit made a language.
Oh my God. That sounds like something James Cameron would do.
Yeah, for real. For real. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to what are you watching? What are you doing? What are you reading this week? What's been going on in the wonderful world of Pendulum Ketchum?
You're going to have to carry the water on this one. I've been working and we had a big graduation party at my house this weekend, which was amazing. And I've been training and I feel like I did something else. And I have not read everything that I haven't read anything. And everything that I've watched is like sit down, turn on the TV and fall asleep 10 minutes later.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned sleep because you've obviously been sleeping on Loki. You need to wake up, my boy.
Wait, I saw the first two.
And you didn't put that on here? First two episodes of Loki?
Oh, I thought the second episode. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was this week. Yes, I did watch the second episode of Loki and I loved it.
Okay. Loki's pretty much off the walls amazing.
I apologize. I thought we talked about the second episode last week. I got my weeks mixed up. But yes, I did watch the second episode, and I totally agree. It's off the walls. Amazing.
Yeah. I also watched the premiere episode for the season of Rick and Morty, which I think looks a lot better than the last season so far. So I'm fully into that. I'm not sure if it's necessarily your thing, Penn, but it's I enjoy it. And here's the thing that's gotten me hyped all week. It's a Picard season 2 trailer.
Stop it.
Get, like, my dude, you're like, oh, Captain Jean-Luc Picard, how exciting could that be? But then all of a sudden you hear El Capitan and Q shows up, and you're like, what's going on? You got 7 of 9 without her Borg parts. You got different comm badges. And I mean, I'm a nerd. What are you going to do?
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
So that's me. That's what I've been into. So next week we're going to get into what I like to call the deep dive.
Talk to me.
Yeah, this is one of the more thought-provoking movies I think we've ever seen. Right. So this is probably going to be you, me, and maybe the Shadow with his fancy college degree listening to this prestigious podcast next week.
I plan to reach out to the Shadow both before and after watching this film to make sure that I, you know, picked up on the nuances and followed it appropriately.
Right. Good. And that would be F9, Fast and Furious Saga, 9th movie, the one where they use duct tape on a car and shoot it into space. I'm just saying.
Wait, they got a magnet plane?
Yeah, they got a magnet plane. They put rockets on a whatever, and they're going to take it into space. I'm in.
I'm worried that I'm going to love this movie.
I am not worried I'm going to love it, because I kind of already do.
It blows my mind. Like, you've seen some of these press interviews with Vin Diesel. He has been making Fast and Furious movies for 20 years.
That's insane. Insane. I just love going back, and you look at the first movie, and they stole DVD players, right, and that was the plot of the movie. Right. And then you look at the last movie, where the government says, hey guys, help us stop these international terrorists with the submarine.
Another terrorist group.
Yeah. Like, what?
Maybe Snake Eyes will make a cameo.
Fingers crossed. Big time. All right, so if you want to let us know what you think of F9 or any movie we've mentioned or ones that we haven't, or if you want to show us your amazing Penn Cinema podcast tattoos, go ahead and email us, podcast@penncinema.com, because that's where it's going to come. Hopefully I get it this time, because I can't believe I missed that. It's so great. So podcast@penncinema.com is how to get in touch with us. But if you want to support the show, Penn, what's the number one way to do that?
Well, the most boring way would be just tell a friend. Just, yeah, you know, next time you're like at a local graduation party or something, just work it into the conversation. People will be like coming up to you and like telling you, you know, what do you want to do after college? And then you tell them, like, you know, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast. But what we've been doing, you know, this episode.
What do you want to do after college? You know, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Remember, we had somebody write in who said now that school's, I think it might have been Connor. Yeah. Somebody wrote in and they were like, now that school's over, I can listen to the podcast more. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing that you don't have an hour to listen to the podcast?
Oh, that's so great. Okay, I'm sorry. Go on. Yeah, what are people doing?
In keeping with the theme of the show, with, you know, the mortality and whatnot, I think, you know, it's an appropriate time to mention, I've been contacted pretty frequently lately by members of local clergy.
Uh-huh.
And you know how they love to, you know, talk to me because I'm so deep and whatnot. You know, so I get these guys calling me, and they tell me, you know, what they want is people are playing the show at their funerals. So you pick your favorite episode. Like, maybe it's the one where I forgot we saw Greta, or, you know, maybe it was the one where David announced that he was just kidding. He really did love all the Star Wars movies, you know, and you play that at the funeral. And then what it hasn't really gone totally wide yet, but what a lot of the preachers are telling me is that people are now getting this, like, engraved on their tombstones.
Yeah. Instead of, like, great father, beloved, you know, husband, it says, like, Michael W. Smith, episode 104 of the Penn Cinema podcast was my favorite.
Right, like, right. You know? Like, on the tombstone, it says, you know, Penn Ketchum, love to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that way, when, you know, some kids are, like, sneaking through the cemetery drinking beers and sneaking cigarettes as kids do, you know, they'll be like, oh, maybe that's something a little more productive we could do with our lives. And this could be a way to get kids off the streets. You know?
The perfect anti-drug.
They're not going to have to run from the law anymore, as you mentioned earlier in the show.
Wow. Got to stop those runners.
I tell you, we are like a social service, a community service is what we are. If I ever get arrested and have to perform community service, I'm going to be like, Judge,
have you heard the podcast?
Baby.
He's going to let you walk.
Mr. Judge, Your Honor, baby, I'm telling you. I got this covered. My life is a community service.
My life is a community service. Oh, God. All right. Well, once again, for the Pensino podcast, I'm David Moulton.
I have no idea, but I think that I'm Ted Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care.
And party on.
Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.